Maybe we should tell the questions before, or we can just do it like we did now.
Yeah, that's fine. Just like we did.
Ready?
Yeah.
Okay. How was Jeff's beginning in the cocktail world? How did you get in? How did you start it?
I was bartending for about 4 years before I ever paid any attention to how I made cocktails. So, yeah, I've been doing, you know, cocktail specific bartending for the last 8 years, and it's been, you know, a long journey. But I think it's a small part of the industry, because there's a lot of bars that don't even concern themselves with cocktails. You know, like places you go before like a Real Madrid match. You know, stuff like that. There's a lot of bars like that. The cocktail bars are still a very small percentage of all the bars that exist. So I think that, yeah, I got my start in cocktail bars 8 years ago, but the most important part of my bartending was what I learned before I started learning how to make cocktails, because balancing a cocktail is just one part of the equation. You have to, like, when you're bartending, you have to do a lot of different things. So in my previous jobs, I learned, you know, how to cut people off if they've had too much to drink, or how to, you know, protect someone from being harassed by, you know, another person, or how to, you know, maintain my station and keep a tidy workspace. So there's a lot of things that bartenders have to be good at instead of just making cocktails good. Because if you only know how to balance cocktails, it doesn't mean you're a great bartender. It means you know how to, it means you're a, you know, a mixologist or something. It doesn't mean you're good at serving people.
Do you remember the first cocktail you made?
I don't remember the first cocktail I made. The first bar I worked in where we did make cocktails was in 2006, and we made a lot of Cosmos, rum and cokes, martinis, but it was dirty vodka martinis. So it was probably one of those, or maybe a margarita. One of those four drinks I made a lot of back then.
Okay, the cocktail industry is evolving and modernizing. What do you think the new trends are? Where do the new trends go? Well, it's stomach being a key. What the new trends are? Yeah.
Oh man. People always like to ask about the trends. It's like my, it's probably my least favorite question. It varies in different parts of the world. People get excited about different things. You know, in Japan, a lot of the young generation of Japanese bartenders are starting to do things differently than the older generation. The older generation was kind of like always perfecting the classics, and the new generation is being a little bit more inventive and in coming up with their own new signatures and stuff like that. So that's changing there. You know, a lot of places in other parts of Asia are getting really excited about, you know, a lot of like the molecular, like the fancy stuff, like the bars like the Aviary there, you know, in 69 Colebrook Row, like their technologies are very inspiring to a lot of bartenders. So a lot of bars are doing that kind of thing. It's not really something that I want to start focusing on at PDT or change anything, but that's definitely something that's happening. Other than that, what's trending? I don't know. People always want something new and different, and your mezcal is quite popular. Gin, whiskey, and tequila are like the fastest growing spirits in the United States right now. So the offshoots of those are become quite popular. But it's hard to say, like, if it's trendy for consumers or trade or what. Like, the consumers ultimately drink what the trade tells them to drink. And they're usually like 5 years behind us in what we drink. So consumers are really getting into mezcal right now. It's like a trend.
Are you more like an author or classic cocktails?
What was it?
You're rather like classic cocktails, or like the signature or your author cocktails?
Oh, I go to a lot of bars all over the world. I like to try the signature drinks of the bars. Like, if somebody has something they think is really special and want me to try. But I also like to order classics. So, because the classics are there for a reason. Everybody should know how to make them. And it's sometimes you just you just have the, you know, the desire for a certain drink, and that's what you want to have. You know, you don't. The worst thing is when you go to a bar, say you have like a long day and you want to, like, have a Manhattan, and they go, "Oh, you don't want a Manhattan. You want to try this." You're like, "Well, actually, no. I want a Manhattan. That's what I want." You know. So like sometimes people, you know, since the classics are great for that, because you should be able to go to most any you know, decent bar, and be able to get something that resembles what you're looking for. And hopefully it's, you know, as good as your expectation is.
Good. Do you have a favorite bar in Spain and in the world? In the world, I might know what it is.
Oh, man. I really like Dry Martini in Barcelona. My favorite bar in Spain. But you know what? My favorite bar in Spain actually is Experimental Beach in Ibiza, because it is the most beautiful scenery. It's the perfect setting to have a bar, have like a gin and tonic on the beach. Oh God, there's so many, you know, in the world. I mean, PDT.
Do you think there's a trick to match cocktails with food? To pair them?
Yeah, pairing cocktails with food is difficult. I think a lot of people get really excited about it, but they don't know what they're doing. It's hard, and I'm not going to say I'm an expert on it, but I think that standard cocktails have a lot of alcohol in them. So if you want to do a pairing, I like to make cocktails that have a alcoholic strength that's a bit more like sherry, or, you know, like a strong wine or something, because it's too much alcohol, it's really hard to taste the food. It kind of doesn't pair, it just dominates. So I would like to go out, if I went out to dinner and I was offered a cocktail pairing instead of a wine pairing, or was offered the choice, I'd probably go with a wine pairing every time. You know, it's the acid levels of wine are great for like the natural digestion of food. So, you know, I figured a way to get your cocktails to that similar, you know, acidity. So it's doing the same purpose, but there's something special about having your like beautiful wine with food. And sometimes I think it's a little arrogant to think that you can do it better. But it's fun to try. Like I did an event last year with Derek Brown in Washington, D.C. at his bar. And he's got a really cool place called the Columbia Room. Then we do a cocktail and food pairing. I worked closely with the chef, and we came up with the menu together. So he like basically brought out all these things he wanted to work into the menu. And so we took a little bits of those and things that could complement those ingredients into the cocktails. But you could have, it was a 5 cocktail pairing, and you could have, somebody that doesn't drink much could drink all 5 cocktails and would probably not be intoxicated. There was like low alcohol, but the flavor combinations are really fun, because you can do a little bit more with a cocktail pairing, because you can take any ingredient in the world and, you know, make a cocktail with it. But it's just, it's difficult. It's a tough sell.
How do you get to be America's best bartender?
I think patience is a big part of why I became America's best bartender last year. I think just focusing on doing my job well and doing it well every night of the week. And I traveled a fair amount, but there's like a balance. You don't want to travel too much, because then nobody thinks you work in your own bar and then they won't vote for you. So I worked, 8 years at the same place, so people remembered me. But being based in New York helped. Being based at PDT helped. And doing events throughout the United States helps, because it's the panel of judges who votes for it. If you look at it, I don't know what the panel is this year, but they're judges from all over the United States, and they don't all go to see you at your bar. So if, you know, it helps to have a network. If you have a bigger network, chances are you know more people that might have tried your drinks or seen you work and would vote for you. So easier for me to win after being at the same place for so long. If I would have left PDT 5 years ago and went somewhere else, I don't think I would have won.
Is
that, or like when Jack won at Dead Rabbit, Well, he won International Bartender of the Year in 2013 or 12. I can't remember what year it was. But Jack had a good reputation in the world. But, you know, he's based out of Ireland, and they showed up to New York, and they made a really big splash, and they won that year. So that's different. You know, he won a very different way than I did. But you look at the people before me, and, like, Jeff Morgenthaler has been at Clyde Common for a long time, and he won. Ivy Mix has been working with Julie at, you know, Clover Club and, well, now Landa, and even some of Julie's other bars before. Charles Jolie was a figure, you know, and a fixture in Chicago for a long time. So, like, everybody kind of was pretty much staying. They were associated with something bigger than themselves.
So, well, it's related for the last one. Like, do you have any recommendation for Spanish bartenders or something like that?
Yeah. I mean, you got to find the place to work that you think you can grow as a human and professionally. And if you don't have that, then you should find a different job. You know, like, don't settle. I didn't settle by working at PDT. I could have done other things. I had plenty of job offers for different things, and they just didn't seem like a good option. So, you know, I don't encourage bartenders to – there's a lot of brand jobs out there, and a lot of bartenders go and start working for a brand, and I don't advocate doing that unless that's what you want to do. But it's like a hierarchy of bartenders, so it's like once you step out of line, you kind of lose your place. So – you know, if you take a year off and go travel the world, and you got to come back and find a new job and work your way up, because it's a big networking relationship job.
What's the last one?